Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney. You're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. I'm John Montgomery. In this episode, we'll be talking about matte painting from both the conceptual art perspective as well as photorealistic. Our guest is Gerhard Mosey, who lives in Brisbane, Australia, and he specializes in matte paintings for the gaming industry as well as films. His tool of choice? It's Adobe Photoshop, without a doubt. He uses it for both his photorealistic work as well as his painterly style art. He finds that the depth and breadth of the tools in the product really provide almost everything he needs. So let's join Mike Seymour in Sydney for this week's interview. Mike?
Well, thanks for that, John. So, Jared's on the line from us now from Queensland. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks.
So I wanted to talk to you about two things, and I don't know if this is a fair way to split them up, but pardon my ignorance if I get the terms wrong, but from my point of view, your work kind of splits into concept art kind of stuff that has a painterly feel and matte painting stuff that has more of a photoreal feel, perhaps even references real-life photos. Would that be a fair distinction?
Yeah, absolutely. There's the two, but as you'd imagine, they sort of both feed into one another.
And you're doing, what, concept art right now?
Yeah, at the moment I'm working up at Brisbane for THQ Studios Australia. I'm their concept artist.
So let's walk through a couple of jobs. We can put some pictures on the website so people can have a look at them. I don't know. Let's start. There's a piece, a refinery piece, which you did, which is a very large matte painting. Can I just get you to break down some of that if we walk through the various stages of it?
Yeah, sure.
So a job like this needs to look fairly photoreal. So I guess you're using, what, real pictures as reference?
Well, yeah, I guess that's the thing with a matte painting is... It's just pretty much you're using photos and you're tying it together with the painting. You're tying it together with the painting in Photoshop, and you'd say Photoshop is pretty much the premier package for matte painting, I mean, excluding the 3D angle.
So did that picture have any 3D in it, or was it all 2D?
There was a hint of 3D. It was the pipes. It was just getting the reference for the pipes. It's just really difficult, so the perspective would be right, so... The pipes were built in 3D Max,
so when
and
you,
they went in and, I textured them up.
So you'd sent the textures to 3D, they sent you back the pipes, is that the kind of thing?
No, they just came as just a basic render with an alpha channel, and, I took it from there.
So where, I mean, you must have a huge library of stuff that you reference, is that?
Yeah, that's the other thing, that's the critical aspect for matte painting, I would just say. Digital art in general, like at the moment, I've got about a 60 gig of just photos, and it just pretty much covers anything that I can possibly get my hands on. Probably every couple of days, I'm cruising on the net looking for photos, good quality, high res photos. That's the thing.
So, how
I generally
do you
go to web shots?
How do you catalogue that? I mean, how do you deal with just accessing into that? Did you have some kind of special program, or is it just you know where stuff is and you filed it carefully?
If you go through it so often, believe it or not, you actually memorise it, and you sort of, you just memorise it. If you go through them, a score of times a day, and you just remember where everything is.
So
of course, it's all sort of labelled, so... It's not just random, they're all in, like, the appropriate folder.
And I guess one of the issues must be when you're putting a picture together like that, that if you're using reference from different places, they wouldn't all be shot for the right time of day, or the shadows might be at the wrong angle or even around the wrong way. Is there a... how big does that play in your choice of things, or can you really modify anything?
That gets a bit tricky. It really comes down to, if you're... To begin with, you always try and get the photograph that's got the right time of day, but, that failing, you either have to just pretty much use the Photoshop bits and pieces, use your curves, your levels, your colour balance, and I think colour adjustment, hue saturation, and pretty much that pool of tricks to get the colour right. But on top of that, it's... light and what's going on in the image. Because, I mean, you'll get a photo which will be a part of the finished picture, and you work on that photo, but then you'll have to integrate that photo into the larger picture, and it all sort of has to be painted in together. So it's not just a case of assembling photos.
Yeah, there's a lot more art than technology involved, definitely. And tell me, when you're doing that kind of work, just from the logistical point of view, are you basically got everything on a separate layer? And how big are these Photoshop files to start with? Because you're normally over-resing what you're delivering, right?
Yeah, the trick is to go double res from what the end product is going to be. So when you shrink down, you can just get away with a lot more. It just sort of ends up becoming detail. But the files get huge. I mean, of course, it really depends on the machine you're working on. But for that particular picture, I was quite lucky. I had a big fat G5 with a big 30-inch monitor, and my files were like a gig and a half. But that's just so that I could keep all my options open. It was about 140, 150 layers.
Do you do layer groups, or
it's layer organization is critical. Also, when you're using that many layers, it's essential to label the layers, like name them, like, you know, valid and relevant names, and grouping them. Because you think that invariably you're going to have to make corrections. You want to keep everything open, but even like with your lighting layers, like for each little object, like in that particular picture, for like all the pipes, I'd have the lighting layers on a separate. It'd be in a separate group, so I'd have a screen or an overlay layer plus a multiply layer, and that'd be for, like, how many smokestacks I've got in that picture, I don't know, so everything would be on a separate layer.
So I was going to ask you about that, because when you've got everything on a separate layer, sort of grading the layers becomes an issue. So you're using an extra layer, and then Photoshop transfer modes to effectively handle some of that grading.
Yeah, thing when you're texturing, it's pretty much about the layer mode. What you want to do also is use layer adjustments for the particular elements, as opposed to just doing a curve on it. That way the option is left open, and invariably the picture will change.
Do you use any of the new smart object stuff in PS2? CS2?
I haven't.
Right.
I haven't really sort of explored that angle yet.
So the adjustment layers are still keeping you effectively live the way a smart object would.
Yeah, just a way of keeping the options open.
And do you ever find yourself merging down a whole chunk, or is it really just the last thing in the world you want to do is merge?
It really depends on if it has been, like, if you've got the big sign-off and it's okay, everybody's happy with it, you can merge it down. But you always keep, like, a backup save where everything's open. So if you do merge it down, you've still got another file where everything's open in case you have to go back.
So
I think that's the joy of Photoshop, is that you've got all the options in the world, so you don't want to limit yourself by locking yourself in.
Are you cutting stuff out and bringing it in, or are you actually bringing in the whole picture and then using the mat per layer to define the shape of the smokestack or whatever it is?
Because the file sizes get so big, I I'll cut the mat in a separate file and then import it in, then save that file where I cut the mat.
Right.
Just so I keep the file size down so you don't drag all that extra stuff in, and plus it just keeps it cleaner.
So that's a shop that's basically going to be, a big matte painting used in several shots from several angles. So it must be a little difficult in terms of composition for you, because it's not like one shot, this is where the camera is. It's more like this has to work from a number of angles, and it's going to be used multiple times as an out-the-window element, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it easier when you're given an open brief, or is it easier when you're saying, look, this is a specific shot, it needs to work just like this, and then you're sort of constrained to that problem?
Well, I find that an open brief is a really rare thing, and if it's said to be an open brief, you realise that it's not particularly open. And they always get, things just always get locked down, but again, it's a collaborative effort, so it's a lot of to and fro between the people you're working with, between the 3D guys, the compositors, and the art director.
So moving over to the concept art, where maybe the brief is a bit more open, you've done some beautiful pieces, and two come to mind, Sun and Steel and an Afternoon Forest. I note both of them because they're quite different in styles, but both are sort of what I'd call painterly in effect. Did you do those in Photoshop, or did you use something else?
No, again, they're all in Photoshop. It's amazing, the brush, you know, natural brush effects you can get with the myriad of brush options that they have. And I find it a better program than Painter. It just, the tools are a lot better, and you're still left with that matte option. Like, if you want to integrate photos into the image, that option is still always there. And on top of that, the color correction and all those other bells and whistles that Photoshop have are always useful, even if you're just painting.
Yeah, I guess the only bell and whistle I missed from Painter and Photoshop is the rotate canvas, which is really
apparently
nice.
I heard that's going to be coming up in the upcoming latest edition of Photoshop, but who knows? But I know what you mean, totally. Like, when I was, you know, painting traditionally, I mean, you'd be doing that, you wouldn't even be thinking about it, but now I find myself sort of crawling up the side of the monitor, trying to sort of replicate that. So, yeah, it's pretty annoying, and why they haven't done it, yeah, it's pretty silly.
Now, Afternoon Forest is really about painting with light, because the form is defined really partly by the physicality of the things that you're drawing, but mainly by just the relationship of light and shade. Was that always the intent with that picture, or was it a study in something else and you started layering the light into it?
I guess with a lot of my work, it is about the light. I mean, it's the light that defines form, and on top of that, I think it's the light. I mean, obviously the composition, but it's the light that gives a picture, that degree of beauty. As for what my intent was, I'm really not too sure. I think I just started playing around, and it all sort of evolved.
How long would a piece like that take you, or how long would you allow yourself if you were, you know, scheduling it?
That was about 3-4 hours work, that one in particular. I mean, it's there's a real sort of absence of detail. It's just sort of really loose and painterly. And I guess I thought the style was required to sort of replicate the feel of the foliage and the light on the foliage.
And so another piece that's stunning and yet very sort of much not natural beauty is Sun and Steel. Can you talk about that piece?
Yeah, again, that was just done for my own sort of gratification. It was another Photoshop piece. It's certainly a lot tighter. I mean, anything architectural is generally going to be a lot tighter because, I mean, you've got, like, really clear perspective, whereas in the previous piece we were talking about, it's sort of a little more atmospheric and you've got a little more leeway. But the thing with Sun and Steel was getting the quality of the shine and the light. Like, there isn't any clear light as you'd have in the previous one, where there's, like, the big streams of light. So you sort of have to, just getting that level of shine, getting those hot spots right, and just that feel. Again, I'm really not too sure how I did. I think at the time I was in a really real sort of Sid Mead stage, and getting that quality of refraction and reflection and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, his work is magnificent.
Yeah, so I guess I was sort of studying that and trying to come to terms with how he did it. And I guess it's my own take on it, but again, it's all painted, there's no photo work, and it was actually using a lot of layer masks.
Do you do little sketches and then pick one and then build it up into a bigger one, or did you actually just work from a big canvas to start with?
I just worked straight with a big canvas. I mean, fortunately I had a pretty good computer, so I could deal with, like, a fairly high res, and then I just start painting.
Are you very explicit with your vanishing point and horizon lines, or is that something that you just sort of feel comfortable with?
That's the first thing that sort of has to go down. I mean, you want to get composition right to begin with, because, I mean, if the composition is bad, the picture will always look a bit dodgy. No amount of sexy light or really good rendering will make a bad composition look good. So you've just got to get that right, and if it's a perspective piece, you've really got to get that vanishing point happening to begin with.
So moving to the logistics of a painterly piece like this, do you use custom brushes? Could you, I mean, just talk about the actual tools in Photoshop. Is it the case that you've narrowed it down to just a couple of favourite tools, or are you all over the program?
In Photoshop, I just open up the brushes, and you've got all these sort of default brushes, and I load them all up. Like, you've got your assorted brushes, basic brushes, natural brushes, 1 and 2, special effects brushes, the whole gamut. I just load them all up, and even to this day, I'm discovering new brushes, which are really cool. But the thing is, it's not only the brushes in Photoshop, it's like the brush options. Like, you've really got to explore the brush options, because you have the same brush, but you'll flick a couple of the options and it becomes something totally new. And I mean, and that's not even beginning to make your own brushes, which is just like, just easy. The combinations would be infinite. So, I don't know, I play around with the brushes as much as I possibly can, because I guess the thing is, despite it being digital art, you still want to get that happy accident happening, like you would when working traditionally. And the brush options allows that to happen.
So, in terms of canvas, do you use a small tablet or a really large tablet? Are you, how gestural are you with the actual workspace?
I've just got the standard. I think it's the 6x8. I actually used one of the bigger ones, but I think it goes to the 9x12. I'm not too sure, but I found it really weird. But then, I guess getting accustomed to a Wacom initially is. But I found that, I don't know, I guess it's because I'm used to it, this size just seems to work just right. Any bigger, like, my hand is moving way too much, but apparently in terms of the ergonomics, it's a lot better for you.
Are you, does it make any difference? Are you Mac or PC? Does it bother you?
I was Mac hardcore, and then now on this new job I've got a PC, and really there's no difference. It's just a couple of hotkeys, and that's it. Like, now when I go back to a Mac, I'm all sort of all frazzled because the hotkeys are different, but your body and your mind adjust and there's no real difference.
Because it's one of those things that I remember somebody talking about this, and you know, there's a tendency when you're trying your own hand at this to think that you need the biggest computer and the best stuff and everything else. But I mean, you're basically painting a picture of yourself as not necessarily being on the biggest computer, not necessarily having the latest version or even pushing the latest buttons in Photoshop, not having anything special, but just giving yourself time and I guess just experience. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you one thing though. One really good thing with a Mac and matte painting is the expose functionality, where you just press a hotkey and all your images appear.
The automatic kind of zoom in function, or the
where you just get to press, it's got these hotkeys, and if you press the button, all your, like, the interface sort of disappears and just all your photos come up.
Oh, okay, yep, I know with you.
Yep. Open, that will save you so much time, and it's just a shame that PC don't have it, or maybe they do and I just don't know about it. But I mean, when you're matte painting, or even when you're painting a picture, I mean, like, I use a lot of reference. I mean, if I'm painting a cloud, I generally have some photos of clouds open. I mean, you want to use reference, and the easier it is to access the reference, the quicker things will go, the better it'll sort of soak in your mind, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, exactly what you mean. I mean, there is really no need to imagine that you have to paint from memory to be good as an artist.
No, not at all. You use the references. I mean, it's there. Don't make things hard for yourself.
Well, look, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us about your approaches. And we'll put up some stuff on the website and also a link to your own site. And I know the work that you are on now you can't talk about, but hopefully we'll see some of that concept art filtering through in the coming months and years. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Gerhard. Really interesting to hear some of the details of your workflow. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. For those of you who haven't checked out our online story, we have some of Mosey's work as part of the article. We've also got some tips and tricks for using Corel's Painter application, another huge favorite amongst digital matte painters. There's also a download of a custom palette with some of our favorite brushes for doing roughs in Painter, so take a look at that. Well, that's it for this week. As always, drop us a line with any suggestions you have for us. For Jeff Huser and Mike Seymour, I'm John Montgomery. Thanks for downloading this week's cast.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2006 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.